Yeah, so that was pharmaceuticals. But thinking about a superhero like good old Tony Stark, aka Iron Man, he's just a regular guy who uses technology to fly around and kick butt. Now, we're joined by someone who, as far as I know, didn't fly into the studio, but does hold the incredible title of the world's first cyborg. Kevin Warwick, welcome to the programme. Please explain to us, how are you a cyborg?
Well, I've had two implants. The first is a fairly simple one that quite a few people now have got, which is an identification implant. So with that, as I was able to move around my building and a computer could recognise where I was, and it opened doors for me, switched on lights, said hello, things like that. So that was the first one. But I think what Barbara's been talking about is the chemical aspect, particularly of the human brain and how you can affect them. But of course, the brain is electrochemical, and I'm really looking at the electrical side of things.
And is it true you technologically linked yourself to another person as well?
Well, who happened to be my wife, yes. Yeah, we wanted to show all sorts of different things. You were talking earlier about communication and what we did. My wife had electrodes pushed in her nervous system, and we linked our nervous systems together. So every time she closed her hand, my brain got a pulse. So it was like a telegraphic communication directly between our nervous systems. And clearly what we're looking at is the future of communication is linking not just nervous systems together, but brains together. So we'll be able to communicate, not in this antiquated way that, you know, surely now we can start moving on as humans, enhance ourselves and start communicating electrically, directly, brain to brain.
Man, that sounds quite romantic, but also potentially very irritating.
But I mean, I experienced ultrasonic input. What we're looking at, humans sense the world in a very limited way. We miss most of what's going on around us because we don't sense it. But we can do in the future. And with the technology I was using, I was able to sense ultrasonics, which is like a distance, like a bat senses the world. And our brains are brilliant. They adapt. They can take on new signals in that way.
So as well as Tony Stark, you're also Batman as well. So,
but for real. I mean, Tony Stark and Batman are mere, you know, characters. This is doing it for real. Science has gone further than some of these characters, I think. And one other example. I went to Columbia University in the US. We plugged my nervous system into the internet and linked back to a robot hand, which was in England, in Reading. What I actually did, I moved my hand, but my brain signals, which we were picking up off our nervous system, were sent across the internet to move the robot hand, which was in England. And then when the hand gripped an object, signals were sent back from the fingertips in England to stimulate my nervous system in New York. So I could feel how much force the hand was applying on another continent.
That's madness. But what about if you're linking yourself up with technology? What about someone hacking your nervous system? Does that worry you at all?
Well, it didn't from the research point of view. I mean, we did, you know, my nervous system actually had an IP address for that that particular experiment. But we had security in the sense that we didn't tell anybody what we were doing. I mean, clearly, if we're looking ahead for this in a general sense, clearly then security would be a much, much more important thing. So we wouldn't want to allow hacking as we might do into our bank accounts and things like that nowadays.
So what other kind of ways might you be able to enhance yourself with technology?
Well, I think if we're looking at brain implants, then clearly you can link your brain directly with an artificial intelligence system and gain all sorts of things from that. I mean, we know human memory is not that wonderful, particularly as you get older, we've got all sorts of problems with it. But computer memory, of course, can be absolutely fantastic, extremely accurate and so on. So the possibility of, well, simply not remembering anything in your own brain, outsourcing the whole lot to a much more accurate but instantly accessible source, why not?
I'm interested to hear how far you'd go in theory, Kevin. I mean, you're talking about sort of mental enhancements. What about something like a super-powered bionic arm and things like that? Does that sound all right to you as well?
Well, in a way, I've already had that. So, you know, that's something I've experienced in terms of connecting from my own nervous system to a robot arm. From that, though, I mean, when you start connecting the nervous system and your brain up to the outside world, it doesn't have to be arms and legs and so on that you connect on. You can have buildings, you can have vehicles. So your body, which can be separate from your brain, as long as it's connected via the nervous system, via a network, your body can be whatever you want it to be, whatever the network takes you to.
What's next on your wish list, Kevin? Just wondering, you know, what you might like to connect up next.
Oh, for me, the big one is communicating brain to brain. I mean, I would love to take part in the first thought communication experiment. It's a very risky business because switching the switch to connect two brains together, what exactly is going to happen there? But I just have a hunch, I believe, that we are going to be able to communicate just by thinking. And I would love to be one of the first people to test that out.
Be really interested to hear what you do next, Kevin. Thank you very much, and do stick around. We'll be coming back to you later in the programme.